coming to you from my apartment that doubles as a podcast recording studio. This is What Should I Do With My Life with Steph Horowitz. I'm Steph Horowitz. Thanks for joining me. This podcast is about how none of us know what we're doing. None of us have it figured out. No matter if you seem like you have it all together, you really don't, so be honest. We're going to talk about real stories from real people, their experiences, how they're figuring it out. From career pivots to being in the same industry for 40 years, we're going to hash this thing out so we can all find more meaning and passion in our work and day-to-days. Hello, everyone. Oh, man. Was I inspired by this conversation with the amazing Ashley Sutton? I think you need to get out a pen and paper or at least pull up the notes app on your phone to write down some of this advice, these insights from Ashley. I'm still thinking about it as I'm editing, as I'm listening to this episode. I feel like there's so many golden nuggets that you might have to listen to it a couple times to take it all in, because we have a lot to learn from Ashley. Her energy was radiant. Her passion was tangible. I was so excited talking to her. I felt so inspired. Oh my gosh. Ashley is the founder and creator of Hustle and Hope, the first inspirational greeting card company that embeds digital guides, helping women level up in their career, mindset, and spirit. She is a true multi-hyphenate. Side note, she's written a book called Overtime Is So Over. She had a career in acting and singing. She's done so much. She does so much. Ashley's also marketing director at Penguin Random House and has over 13 years of experience in corporate marketing, working at some of the biggest companies in beauty and toys. Plain and simple, Ashley had a goal to channel her career experiences into a product with purpose, and has she delivered? In this episode, we talk about what it really means to hustle, why you should never refer to your business as a side hustle or a passion project, even if it's in addition to a full-time job. And we talk about how she married her passions and experience together into Hustle and Hope. You're going to love her. You're going to want to go buy these amazing cards, stickers, everything. The episode's going to make you think. I know it's going to inspire you. Here's Ashley.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I am doing well.
You're in New York right now?
Yes, I am in New York. I am just like still reeling over the holiday bazaar. It's just called the She Did That Holiday Bazaar. And it was just like 40 different like Black women-owned businesses. And it was just like so powerful and exciting. And yeah.
That's amazing. And I bet you did really good networking there too.
You know I did.
I saw the videos. I saw you schmoozing everyone down. So I'm not surprised at all. Well, first off, it's so nice meeting you.
Yes.
I feel like I'm trying to remember. I know I found you on Instagram, but I don't remember who. I'll look, but there was someone obviously I knew or I follow was following you.
Yeah.
And then you came on my radar and I was like, yes. And then I got some cards. Yeah. And I'm just thinking who I want to give them to. And I'm like, I kind of want this one for me.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really excited about it. Again, Ashley, I'm very excited to have you here today. And I feel like we should dive in, let everyone meet you and learn all about Hustle and Hope and what you do. So in one sentence, what do you do?
Yes. Okay. So I am Ashley Sutton and I am the founder of Hustle and Hope. And we are the first 2-in-1 motivational greeting card company where you not only get a greeting card that's cute, but you also get a free downloadable guide that will help your recipient either level up in their career, their mindset, or their spirit. And then by day, I'm also a marketer, a corporate marketer where I've had over 13 plus years in marketing at some of the world's most incredible companies.
So you are a very busy person. It's safe to say you have a lot on your plate and you're doing a lot. And I have so many questions and we're just going to dive in. And I feel like, okay, you had said at something I read or something I saw that you had it's late. You had a childhood dream of having a greeting card business or a stationery business. And now X years later, you're actually making it happen. I'm curious to hear, what exactly was that childhood dream? How did that come up? And then how did you tap into it later on?
Yeah, so actually it was a dream of mine that I had in college. I went to the University of Houston's Bauer College of Business, where I majored in finance and entrepreneurship. And in the entrepreneurship school, they gave you these like cute little brown Moleskine notebooks. And our professors basically said, write down all the crazy ideas that you have for a business, no matter how big, no matter how small. If there's an idea that you really want to pursue, you should write it down. And even if you don't get to it now, you'll get to it at some point. And I always was just like, whatever, I'm going to write it down. I'm like, I'm never going to do anything with this. And so one night in my New York City apartment, back when I was living in NYC, I was scrolling through this notebook as I'm drinking a glass of wine. And I was like, oh my God, I said like many moons ago that I wanted to start a stationery company where we had notebooks and planners and journals and greeting cards and stickers. And I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. But I pumped the brakes because I lead a very intentional life. And the one thing I did not want to do is just create another greeting card company for greeting card's sake. And so I thought about how much I love to give people professional and career advice and how I wanted to marry my love of that, my experience in corporate marketing, with a company to really drive some purpose. And so that's where the idea of creating a greeting card with a free guide with topics ranging on how to interview, job search, resume, self-care, budgeting, and plenty more came from. Because when you think about it, when you give someone a greeting card, right? Like you said at the top of this podcast, before we even got started, you were like, I'm trying to think about who I'm going to give these to. Number one, you're thinking about who you're giving it to, and you're thinking about the why, right? And so more often than not, you're trying to give someone a greeting card to say, hey, I'm thinking of you. I want to motivate you. I know you may be going through a tough time. Here's how I can help. And so this card is not just saying, go you. It's like, go you plus, here's how you get out of that rut. And that's where I found my point of difference.
I love it because I love that. I love that for you on a personal level, you're combining your passions. Like you said, you have a lot of experience in corporate marketing, and then you have this passion for the notebooks and the notes and the cards, and you're yeah. putting it together with this creative advice and career advice. So you're combining yeah. that. And then with the card itself, it's also putting together a few things. There's words of encouragement and intention, but then there's kind of yeah. like an action plan, and there are action items, and there's
absolutely
stuff to do. It's not like you're amazing or you know, here I have the self-love is the best love. And then it's kind of like, well, how do I do yeah. that? How do I practice yeah. self-love? And I downloaded, one of the guides I downloaded was to increase productivity and work more efficiently. And I loved it. It was so good. I ate it up, and it had like, no, I loved it. It had the Pomodoro method on there, which I mm-hmm. loved. And it had a mm-hmm. lot of new things that I didn't think about. And I felt like this yeah. is extremely, this is very valuable to me. So
yeah.
I'm thinking about the cards, and I love what you said. And it also makes me think of a friend I have who is, uh-huh. his name's Ronnie. He was previously on this podcast. He is so good at sending cards to people. Like he's definitely the only person I consistently get a birthday card from every year.
Oh, don't you love those people?
Well, yes, obviously love him more than anything and love the intention. And there's something so like wholesome and feel goody about the snail mail. And yes. the cards. And I feel like, you know, we're not experiencing that as much with these physical greeting cards. So I'm curious, yeah. what kind of feedback have you gotten so far with Hustle and Hope? How is it making people feel? How are they reacting to these different kinds of cards?
Yes. Yeah. So we had one customer send us this long DM on Instagram, and she's an actress who, by the way, I was like, wait, what? She's played on Dynasty. Like, I was like, wait, this woman just bought a Hustle and Hope card. Oh my God. Yes. And so she wrote us and was basically like, hey, I put this card in my husband's luggage. Like, just as a surprise while, you know, he was packing. And when he landed and got to his hotel, he saw it and was just so overcome with emotion because he was about to go out for a job. And like, that is the type of feedback that like I could have only dreamed for, right? Like there are so many companies that people are starting, but like you're not getting feedback from your customers. And if you're not getting that feedback and like that proof of product, that's what I like to call it, that proof of your product and your concept, then it may be time for you to think about something new. But the moment that I started getting these DMs and comments and emails from people, and even just word of mouth, I was just like, all right, we're changing lives out here. And like, this is not just a greeting card. Furthermore, we had another one of our Instagram community members, her name is Lauren, and she said, ooh, when the card is the gift. And I was like,
oh, I love that
slogan.
Please, yeah, that's a new t-shirt. Sweatpants with putting that on the tush. Like, that's really good. I love that.
Like, and this is where like that corporate marketing brain of mine comes into play, where you should listen to your customers to help you drive and craft and create your messaging. And I was just like, oh yeah, we're using that in our next promotional video. And that's exactly what we did. It goes in our sales pitches, our pitch decks, like brand overview and all of that, because she was right. Like, I didn't even think, I'm like so close to the brand. I'm like, oh yeah, the card kind of is the gift. Like, you don't have to be that person that's like, I got to get a card and I got to get a gift.
Right.
No, you're on a budget. $6 is all you get. You get a card and you get a 2-in-1 gift.
Exactly. Well, and they obviously have, it's the feeling, but then they have the guide, or they have something to take away in addition to feeling good and feeling empowered. There's an action.
And one less card is going to end up like, you know, in the trash or like in the recycle bin, right? Like, you get to keep it for forever because it's a resource that's going to help fuel you and motivate you time and time again.
This is good for the environment too. I love it. We're always sustainable. I want to know, can you share a bit about the different kinds of cards, the kind of messaging and guides? I would love to hear some of the best sellers. And then what's your personal favorite if you had to choose?
Yes. Okay. So a couple of our best sellers are, one of the newer ones actually in the line is like selling out. I've actually had to reprint 3 times now in the last couple of months. It's called Hey Girl, Quit That Job. And I don't know if it had to do with Beyonce and like her whole like, you know, like, you won't break my soul, quit that job. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's like this surge of people being like, you know what, I'm going to rethink this. So Hey Girl, Quit That Job, which comes with a guide on how to build your network and comes with resources on how to build your network, how to network properly so that it's not, doesn't feel cringy or salesy, how to give a pitch over email, how to follow up. And it also has resources and tools. You know, a lot of times people just say, you got to get out there and network. And it's like, okay, and then what? Like, I'm also not like you. I might be a little bit more introverted. I might not know what to say. And you can use those, what some people view as weaknesses, as your strengths to really move about a room, or even if you're on Zoom or something like that. And then one of our other bestsellers is Promote Your Damn Self, which comes also, this is answering your other question, which is, which one is my favorite card? This is my favorite card, mainly because it has a personal story attached to it, but it's called Promote Your Damn Self. And it comes with a guide on how to actually get promoted and ask for the promotion. People are always like, I didn't get promoted. And then my first question is, well, did you ask? Because if you didn't ask, nobody's mind reading. Right. Nobody knows that you want this. And then you do the self-reflection. Well, did you complete everything you needed to complete? Are you hitting your goals? Well, then don't be surprised if you're not doing any of those, if you don't get promoted. So Promote Your Damn Self was created because actually at one of my previous companies, I kept getting the runaround about like, yeah, we're going to get you promoted. Like, you're such a rock star, blah, blah, blah. Like, all the partners love me. I was doing great work. Like, the receipts were there. It wasn't like I was like a bump on a log and like sales were great. I mean, the sales were out of this world. Like, it was insane. And then I ultimately didn't get the promotion. And I was like, you know what? It's time for me to promote my damn self. And that's exactly what I did. And then, you know, it worked out great. And I'm just like, sometimes you just got to promote yourself within, or you got to promote yourself out. Like, the choice is yours. And then for the holidays, one of my favorite holiday card is Slay Girl Slay. And it's literally spelled like a Christmas sleigh. And that one just like continues to sell like gangbusters. And I'm just like, I'm over the moon about it. So yeah. And we have some new cards that are going to be launching.
I'm excited. Do you think of all the messaging? Who's thinking of the messaging?
Yeah. So I think of all the messaging. I write out, like I have this planning doc where I write out the different categories of business. And then I think about what copy I want to go on the card. And then I pass it off to one of my many freelance designers because I cannot draw a stick figure to save my life. And then I have a team of freelance editors that will do all of the copywriting for the guides. And that just kind of goes to show how much we've grown. You know, like in the beginning, I wrote the guides for the first 8 cards, you know, like, which is great because it was all coming from me. And these were all tools and tips that I used to get promoted or get ahead or increase my salary or negotiate or whatever the guide was about. Right. But then you get to a point where you're just like, you're growing too much and you just need to be able to have people on staff to do that for you. And I am just so grateful that I have that, especially now. You know, I launched the business with a social media manager, knowing that one, that's not my strong suit. Two, yeah. I'm like, I don't have it done.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a really good message for everyone listening to take on support, work with others. But it also made me want to ask, this is your baby, like this business is your baby. So of course you're getting more busy and you can't do everything, but how was it for you, the feeling of kind of handing off some responsibilities and giving tasks or delegating tasks to other people? Were you nervous? Did you feel micromanaging, or like, how was that experience for you?
Of course. I think, you know, unlike a corporate professional setting, right, where like, you know, you are a leader, but you're still leading under the guise of like, here's what the corporate parameters are. Here's what our, you know, strategic goals are. Here's the like high level roadmap, right? As an entrepreneur, you are literally figuring everything out on your own every single day, every single second of the, you know, moment. And so for me, having such a wealth of corporate knowledge in terms of branding and how to, you know, really build up your messaging and what types of design you should be using and the types of packaging, I am a stickler. I'm not going to lie. I am a stickler for what something looks like, how it rolls out, what the caption says, like all of that. And so it was tough. It was really, really tough to say, oh my God, this person is going to be like doing this thing for me. But then I had to think about resource and bandwidth. And I thought back to all the times when I was burned out in my very, very first job. And one of the main reasons why I was burned out was because I was trying to do too much at work. I kept saying yes to everybody. I didn't want to say no because I didn't want to disappoint my manager. And then I would just work late and then I'd be tired. I'd have to get home because back then I was an assistant. So I definitely was not making taxi cab money. So mm-hmm. I had to walk in the wee hours of the night in a neighborhood mm-hmm. that I was like, oh my God, help me God. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and somehow, some way we made it. But, you know, I thought back to that and I was like, don't do that. Why do you feel the need to do that to yourself? And that's when I answered the question, oh no, this is it. We are delegating that. And that's how I got over that fear.
Wow. It was like a very harsh experience to, you had to go through that really hard experience Absolutely. To be able to get over it and not make that mistake, not a mistake. Yeah. It's like pretty natural, but not do that yeah. again the next time. And especially when you're running your own business. So I have a bajillion questions about everything and I'll try to just break it down. So right now you said you're still working a full-time job. You're at Penguin mm-hmm. Random House.
Yes. Yes. I'm a marketing director for Riverhead Books and we publish, I mean, every voice, every background, debut authors. We've got some New York Times bestselling National Book Award winning authors. My marketing team is absolutely rockstar. And I mean, from every end of it, not just like what you see on social or online, but like from project management with Tasha and Nora Alice, who is an incredible title marketer. Like this team is just incredible. And And we work in concert with our illustrious publicity team, and which is our whole team is head up by Jen Dilling, and she is just incredible and has been not only a super supporter of me in my role, but also me as an entrepreneur and supported my business. And, you know, honestly, this has been just a dream of what a company and what a team looks like to support you 360, not just when they want and how they want.
So that's, first of all, it sounds like an amazing job. And I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, I saw it was, did your team work on the Power of Regret book?
Yes, we did. Okay. Dan Peek. I love Dan.
I just finished that book a few days ago. I just finished that book and I loved it. And it was really, it came at a really fitting time for me in decisions I was making. And I love that book. And I saw that you were posting about that. And like, what amazing feedback for your full-time job and team that they're supportive of this endeavor, because I wanted to ask how they reacted to it. And I also wanted to ask if the intention of this was always for it to be a side hustle. You know, a lot of people say, stay in your full-time job. And then if you have a passion project, pursue it on the side, maybe it'll turn into something full-time, maybe not. I'm curious your thoughts or approach on passion projects and the full-time job, and also, how do you balance all of it?
So, you know, one
what
thing,
a laugh.
I know, like, right?
Caffeine. That was a caffeine.
So fun fact, I only drink coffee on the weekend. So I really, I'm just running off of pure passion during the day. I know, it's insane, which is why a lot of my entrepreneurial work gets done actually on Saturday mornings.
I
in the morning, I drink a lovely cup of coffee and I just like hammer out. I take courses almost every week on some new subject to learn something so that I can better myself. I take a lot of masterclass. I like do my financial budget planning for the business on the weekends, like so I can really get in the weeds with my numbers and just like look at growth projections and all of that. But you know, one thing I will say is that I've never, ever advised people. If you really want to be an entrepreneur, right? Like if you have a passion and you're just like, oh, like I knit hats and I just like really love to do that. And like, I give them as gifts, then great. That's a passion. But if you are saying that you have a business, you are an entrepreneur and you want to create a thing, you want to produce a thing, you want to put that thing into the world and then make money off of it. That is a business. That is not a side anything. That's not a passion project. That is you really committing to yourself that you are starting something that you want to give a shot. You really want to like see if you can generate income for. And so for that, I don't ever really look at it like a side hustle, even though we all know it's like on the side, because I really only work on the weekends. But the reason why I try to position it as that is because if I diminish it, then that leads me to just be like, oh, I'll just do it whenever, or I'll like email that retailer whenever, or I'll, you know, create project, you know, products whenever I feel like it. And then that does our customers a disservice. That does like the wholesalers that are asking for our products in stores a disservice. If I treat it like just another little thing that I'm working on just to have fun. So I do truly look at it as a business. And then when I come to work Monday through Friday, full attention, 9 to 5, that's it. And then when I get off, I go eat, take a break, and then I get on Hustle and Hope. And I think one of the things that keeps me running, to answer your question again, is having a team of people. You cannot do this by yourself. If I didn't have this team, there would be no Hustle and Hope. Like literally, I would just be on hiatus probably throughout the whole year until like the end of the year when I got a break. But because I was so thoughtful about hiring a social media person, which I knew I was going to need very early on, I did that, check the box. I got someone to build the website, didn't have to lay a finger on it. I got someone to do, you know, the designs for the product. I got someone to do the guides later on down the line, right? Like you do what you got to do in the beginning. My dad always used to say, rest in peace, keep expenses low. And I have a necklace that actually has that engraved. Because a lot of times you get into this habit of creating a business and you think, I got to spend X, Y, and Z to do blah, blah. It's like, no, no, no. Keep expenses low, but don't waste your time either. And you need to really plan out and be strategic about what it is that you want and can take on, especially if you have a job. And that's what keeps me balanced. One, I find that people who don't really like their jobs always ask the question, oh, how do you take on more? It's like, maybe because you're not happy in your day job. That's why you don't think you have the bandwidth to take on anything more. But I actually love what I do. It would be different if I didn't, you know, and then I would be questioning some things. But to wake up and get to go to a job that I like, right? Mind blowing, right? And then also get to like own a company that like does good in the world and like actually relates to what I've done in my life. I'm not just creating a product just to make a buck. Like, I don't know. I think if you drive with purpose, you're never overwhelmed.
Whoa. Okay. What you just said blew my mind, and I feel like I have to say it out loud and talk it out with you for a minute to seriously to process it. Because you said, when people ask you, how do you have time to do this? How do you have energy? How do you have whatever? Well, you said you can because you're happy at your job. Maybe those who are asking you that question are unhappy at their job and can't do that. This is hitting me in a different way. Whatever you just said about not being happy at your job, so you can't imagine something else, is hitting me very differently. And I'm trying to understand why. And now that I think of, now that I'm, as we talk out
loud, let's dig through it, because I already know where you're headed.
I feel like it's like I've always been thinking about it in a negative way and not in the positive way. I feel like I've always been thinking about, well, there's too much going on, or everything is crazy, or you're burnt out and stressed, so you can't possibly do something else, as opposed to, I'm doing something else because I'm happy and fulfilled and growing. And there's this like creative energy and continue this momentum. That's kind of what it is. You have this momentum of good stuff that's happening in your day-to-day at work. And that's continuing you to be energized, be creative, be inspired, and act. Holy hell, I'm very envious and inspired. And
but let's I want to unpack it, because I know where you were leaning, right?
Help me, because I lost it. Like,
I know what you mean, because a lot of people say, when I give this response and they're like, that doesn't make any sense. You're like watering down the fact that like you are managing a lot. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that like every day is unicorns and roses. They are not. At work, they're not. And entrepreneurially, they're not. That's just life, right? Like, you know it. So you roll up your sleeves and you just keep pushing, right? Like, that's, it is what it is. But when you are not happy at a job, you are often not motivated. You often don't know what your why is, why you're there, what you want to do. You don't know if you are just an individual contributor with no voice, no thought. And all of these like negative thoughts, these feelings can lead to you being burned out. And the burnout is like the little symptom that then reaps the illness, if you will, of you saying, I hate my job. I want to quit my job. I don't have time for this. Everything is crazy. It's like, everything could not be crazy, because you could change your job situation. You could, you know, either figure out a way to make the job that you're in work for you better, or you could get out of said job and just go and find something new. But the job, don't blame the job for why you can't go and do something that you're passionate about and excited about, because the job should just be there to support your life, not for you to like feel like you're beholden to it, right? Nobody wants to be beholden to anything or anyone.
So that's a really good, sorry, I feel like I'm yelling and I'm using my hands a lot, and the people listening can't see that, but I'm feeling very expressive with my hands with you right now, because I'm feeling your passion via Zoom. I'm feeling it and I'm returning it. Well, what you just said, okay, so I want to know your take on that. Some people feel beholden to their jobs and their jobs mm-hmm. define them and they are their jobs. And you are an extremely successful corporate marketer and entrepreneur. Your day job is at an amazing company. It's very yeah. well known. You have had amazing experience. Your resume is fantastic, if you will, if you're just looking from the outside. Yeah. And then you have this mm-hmm. business that you only started, what, during the pandemic? And it's going really well. So you spend a lot of time at work or yeah. in your business through Hustle and yeah. Hope. So mm-hmm. how do you relate to work? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I don't believe that old adage that, like, you know, we live to work. Like, that's a very American thing. I don't, like, I will never forget when I, like, studied abroad in Spain and, like, really got to see, like, how their days were spent. And that's also a main reason why I'm like, oh, 10 o'clock dinner reservation, no problem.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God, I'm like, basic breakfast, take a siesta during that. Like, it's just wonderful because, you know, there's this like culture that has crept into us. It's like overwork all the time, blah, blah, blah. And I don't look at life like that. I look at work as a tool to help support your life. And also, by the way, work should be something that you are excited to do. Now, I don't want it to get confused with, and people come for me in the comments like, well, some people have to work so they can pay bills. Trust me, I know. I was sleeping on an air mattress for about a year when I moved to New York. So mm-hmm. this is not the struggle talk, right? Like I've been there. We've all been there, right? This is not a, you know, oh, beautiful story where I was made of money and like now I'm continuing to make money. No, this is your true day-to-day rags to almost riches because we ain't rich yet. But almost
getting there.
almost richest story. So we all have to sacrifice. That's number one. Like, don't think that you're going to get through this life and claim that you want to be successful and claim that you want to do all of these great things without having to sacrifice a little thing, right? Like, yeah, you got to sacrifice going to happy hour sometimes. Yeah, you got to sacrifice going to brunch sometimes, you know, like you gotta practice at interviewing and you got to practice a skill, right? Like, you actually have to put in work to be good at a thing and to go and do a thing. Some people have a natural ability. That's great. I have a natural knack for like having an idea, understanding where the white space is. For those of you that don't know what white space is, it means just like literally you're looking at a white piece of paper, meaning there's blank space, there's a canvas, and there's opportunity there for you to color in the line. So looking at white space, and then figuring out how to go and execute it. And the only way I was able to do that is because of my corporate experience. And that has helped my entrepreneurial endeavors because I would not have had these skills. I would not be able to launch a business in the middle of a pandemic so almost seamlessly, flawlessly, without that experience. They go hand in hand. And I don't look at one as a burden over the other. I look at both as delivering and working in concert to build the life that I want to live.
Did everything you just say also inspire the name Hustle and Hope? Because that's literally, yes. I feel like what you just said is the anthem for the yes. hustle
yes.
and the hope. Is there more to break down from the name?
No, there really isn't. There was an old friend of mine that used to say, you've got that internal hustle. And it's so true. Like, I don't know. It's just always been in me. And that, and hustle, I want to, like, you know, people are always bashing the word hustle sometimes. And it's like, the problem is that you equate hustle with overwork. You equate hustle with always doing something, right? But that's not what hustle is. Hustle is just being like, oh, I said I was going to go do a thing. Let me get started on doing a thing. That doesn't mean I'm going to learn Italian in a week. That just means I'm going to go download Duolingo. I'm going to start practicing and I'm going to do the thing that I said I was going to do. Hustle doesn't mean you're going all the time. That's called burnout. And I want people to understand the difference between hustle and burning yourself out. They are not the same. And so Hustle and Hope is really where, like, we have this adage where it's like, a little bit of hustle and a little bit of hope make dreams reality. Because you can't just always like do a thing. You also have to like believe in yourself. You also have to have the hope that something will work out. But you can't have that if you always have negative thoughts, if you are only looking at what other people are thinking and saying and telling you and all of the things. Yeah, you know how many people are like, oh, you're starting a business in the middle of a pandemic. Oh, and it's greeting cards. It's like double whammy. And I'm like, okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the belief. But all I'm thinking is, listen, my mom believed me. My dad believed in me. My chosen dad believed in me. My family supports me. My friends support me. Like, that's all that matters. But more than anything, I believed in me. I said, I saw white space in this. This 75-year-old industry, $7.4 billion, hasn't been innovated against since pop-ups and music, right? Like, what's new? What's new that I can bring to the table? And I did it. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I had a fun time doing it. And I made a little bit of money along the way.
Oh, almost riches. Almost riches, almost riches, almost riches. I love it. Oh my God. Wow. I'm very inspired by you and your passion. And you had alluded before to your dad and that he had the saying of keeping costs low. You said that he inspired you. It sounds like he inspired your hustle and this entrepreneurial spirit. So if you're comfortable sharing about it, I would love to hear more about how he inspired you in that way.
Yeah. I am. And thank you, one, for reading my LinkedIn post. It was tough to write the article part one and part two. But I think once you read that LinkedIn article from me, once you get to part two, you understand like the beauty in the journey that got me to that part two, right? Like, and it wasn't just my dad, it was my mom. Like, they both modeled entrepreneurship to me. My mom owned her own accessories business, right? All while also, by the way, being a Black woman in the South in a time where it was like, you can't sit there. And she worked at Xerox and was managing and was leading and like doing all of these things. Like, the only model I have known is you can do whatever it is that you put your mind to. Be damned of the society, be damned of the patriarchy, be damned of like all the naysayers and people telling you no. If you want to start a thing, then you go start that thing. And she and my dad started their own software company in a time when like people didn't even really know what the heck a PC or a Mac was. Like, they were like, what? You're doing a what? Like, that was, my dad was always one step ahead. He was always thinking about like what's on the precipice. And I get that, like, what's next from him. And I certainly get the like, okay, here's how you go and plan it out and figure it out and execute from my mom. And so them together was like this perfect little mix of the framework for what it means to own a business, but also work full time and love and like what you do. My dad, you know, even though he was an entrepreneur, he owned his own software shop, and my mom, he was also a musician. He played the bass, like, and then he also, you know, worked at a cell phone store selling cell phones, right? Like, and I get all of this like multi-hyphenate behavior definitely from him. I do a ton of things on the side. I've had an acting career. I literally I've been in a movie. I've done like voiceover commercials. I've been in plays. I've also sang. Like, my life is wonderful, and only because my parents dare to believe in me and love me and support me. And I totally know that that's not everybody's story. And that's where you have to look in that mirror and say, do I want my parents' disbelief in me to hinder where I'm headed? Or do I want to use that as fuel to the fire to say, you know what? Screw you. I am the master of my journey. I'm going to get to where I want to get to because of me, in spite of you.
Wow. First of all, those LinkedIn posts were really intense and personal, and I'm sure it was really hard to write it, share it. But I think it's really inspiring and inspiring for people grieving or facing any kind of challenge, and how they can kind of harness that grief or struggle to thrive. And I'm going to post a link to that post. That sentence did not make any sense. This didn't make any sense, but everyone understood. Thank you for sharing. And your parents sound amazing, and it sounds like very inspirational. So I would love to hear, what has been your proudest moment so far, and what can we expect in the future or coming up?
Nice. So my proudest moment so far has been, I'm going to name two. Sorry, I know you said one. Proudest moment. One, being featured in Glamour magazine. As an avid longtime reader of Glamour, I was just like so stoked. I was like, what is this? My face, my name, my business, like a thing I built, a thing I thought of in the wee hours of the night with a pen and a piece of paper, came to life and is now featured in a magazine that I used to subscribe to. What? And then the number two is, I went to a trade show this year so that I could, like, you know, try to find businesses and retailers to like get our cards in their stores. And my stepdad, my chosen dad, my late dad was the one that helped me to get there. He helped pay for some of my booth costs so that I could get there. And I'm just so grateful for him for that, because I landed my first major like big box retail store with Home Goods and TJ Maxx in Canada and HomeSense and Winners in Canada. And
oh my God.
I was just like, the things that you think you can't do, the you being so small, and this is my first business. And if you only do what you imagine, like, oh, my mom has this phrase on her voicemail that says, imagine what you could do if you do what you imagine. And sometimes I just call and I say, don't pick up, because I need to hear this right now.
Oh my God.
And that's what gets me through. And so those are my biggest wins. And then what's coming up is that we are launching wedding cards in the new year. Yes, I am so excited.
Oh my God. We are launching
wedding. We're going to also get into baby shortly after that. We've had a ton of requests for that. And then we're going to be rolling out some new products. I can't talk about them now, but they are coming. Oh my God.
I cannot wait. I'm very excited about this. What advice would you give to someone who doesn't know what to do with their lives?
So I think if you don't have a job right now and you go back to the things that you were passionate about when you were younger, or the things that feed you in your everyday life, write it down and figure it out. And I know a lot of people give that like advice, and it sounds so like pie in the sky. But what I mean by that is, like, let's say you're at the restaurant and the bill comes. Are you the friend that everybody gives the bill to you so you can calculate like what the tip and tax are? If so, maybe you need to think about a job where you're working with numbers, right? Mm. Or, you know, if you are watching a commercial and you're like, oh, that line was so cheesy, they really should have said this. Well, maybe you should think about copywriting or script writing, or, you know, anything in the writing field in terms of consumer writing. And then if you're the friend that like looks at a movie and you're like, ooh, I don't know about that frame. Maybe the lighting should have been different, or the angle should have been different. Maybe you need to go to film school. Like, I'm not saying like, oh my God, look at your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s from when you were in kindergarten, and that's how you're going to find your passion. No, I'm saying, but just be simple. Mm-hmm. Look at what your everyday life is. And if there's something that you have a knack for, then go figure out how you can make money at it. Like, that's just it. And then if you have a job, for the folks that have a job, think about, again, I love keep it simple. Write a pros and cons. What do you like about what you're doing? What do you not like? And then I want you to take the last couple of jobs that you've had and write that same list. I guarantee you, you're going to circle some commonalities across both columns. And then I want you to ask yourself, have I been in the same industry? And do I want to stay in that industry? If so, find a company that's in that industry and go apply. If you're asking yourself, I'm bored and I've been in the same industry, I want to try something new, keep those commonalities that you just went through and then go find a job that has that. That's it.
Oh my God. I love everything you just said. It's almost like you have a business where you could take these amazing career insights and put them into downloadable guides with these inspiring greeting cards, or, you know, something like that. love it. And I love the going back to the basics of what you said. Is everyone giving you the money at the restaurant? It's not me. That's never me, by the way. But I love it. And it is so true. And we never think about those things. We're so,
'cause we overthink. Yeah. We think, I don't have 15 years experience. I don't have 5 years experience. I don't blah, blah. It's like, stop thinking so technical. Just think about what it is that you do in your everyday life.
We're not in tune with ourselves in the most basic way and in the most basic interactions and situations, like you said. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Ashley, where can people follow you and follow Hustle and Hope and stay in touch and get all the latest cards? Yes.
So you can shop all of our great greeting cards and more online at hustleandhopecards.com. So once again, that's hustleandhopecards.com. And you can also follow us at Hustle and Hope on Instagram, on Pinterest. We're also on Facebook. And just so you know, if you sign up for our newsletter on our website, we also have a link in our bio and our social, you get 10% off of your first purchase.
Ooh, I love it. And I'll obviously put all the links in the show notes. And I got my cards and I also got these stickers.
Oh my God. I gave you some. Yes. Promote your damn self.
I love it. So I got one for me, and then I'm going to give someone special another sticker. But
yes,
Ashley, this was so awesome. And this was very energizing and inspiring. And
thank you.
I don't want to throw around that word so much, but you really inspire me. And this was, you really inspired me today. And this was like, it was like the end of the day. I was like, I was running around like, how am I going to do this? And this was contagious. Your energy is contagious. And it really helps me believe in myself. And I hope all the listeners, because we got this.
You got this. Promote your damn self.
We're promoting our damn selves. We're self-love is the best love. We're all the things. I'm going to just have all the cards and put them on the wall. I'm not even going to give them to anyone. I'm just going to keep them for myself. Sorry, friends. This was amazing. So thank you.
You were so much awesome to talk to. I love it. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. I thought it would be funny to keep that in. I was just testing to make sure the mic worked. But okay, everyone. Like I said, how many nuggets of wisdom from Ashley? Man. Oh, man. Of course, first of all, I just loved what Ashley said about not calling your business a side hustle or a passion project. This really made me think it is so freaking true. Relating to it this way is damaging. You're minimizing the amazing stuff you're doing, that you're building. This is a disservice to your customers, to yourself, to your business. How we relate to our business is the most important thing we can do. And the attitude is gonna trickle down or ripple out and affect every aspect of what we're doing and who we're interacting with. And I just love it. It was also so poignant what Ashley said about producing and doing more when you're happy at your job. When you're happy at your job, you have the bandwidth to initiate, create, you're kind of in this flow. You're happy, so you have the energy to do more. If you're unhappy at your job, you probably have some form of burnout, maybe feeling demotivated, frustration, negative feelings, and you're going to be wondering how someone else could possibly take on more in addition to doing what they're doing, because you're having a hard time just doing the task in front of you. This really struck me. I'm still unpacking it now. It was just positioned and phrased in a totally different way, I think, than I've thought about it until now. Of course, I love the quote, mantra Ashley shared that her mom always says, if you only do what you imagined, imagine what you could do. Again, imagine what you could do if you do what you imagine. I'll leave you with this inspiring insight. Go follow Hustle and Hope on Instagram at Hustle and Hope, on Pinterest at Hustle and Hope, and on Facebook, Hustle and Hope Cards. Links are in the show notes. I'm inspired. I'll talk to you later.